This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover lots of different issues and topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley. Denise Bridges in today, Executive Director of Forest Bridges. I just called. I didn't do that right at all. How about Denise Barrett, Executive Director of Forest Bridges? All right, there we go.
Thanks, Kyle. Great to be here again.
Off to a great start. So talk about recently your group put out a release about your perspective about the Bureau of Land Management and some of their actions regarding the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument.
Yeah, you know, back in April, the BLM issued a draft resource management plan and environmental impact statement following an extensive year of getting there and public opportunities for public to comment along the way. And so we took the opportunity as the agency issued that to be able to review it, give it a good eye over, and come back with some analysis and some recommendations. This followed, see, last year in August when I was visiting you, Forest Bridges had submitted its own active conservation management proposed alternative. So this was kind of another follow-on, an opportunity for us to continue to engage with the agency on.
So obviously a very complex subject. This is going to be like being in science class today in a way. And talk about what the BLM is looking at right now, but how your organization differs and what you feel like the best approach would be.
Yeah, so a lot of people know that we look at these lands, which contain ONC lands. That's our focus and our mission is on that. And we basically see that the BLM has proposed several alternatives, and they have chosen one, a preferred alternative, that they call a moderate active management or a moderate intensity active management alternative. And with that, what they're proposing is to be able to restore, protect, and conserve that monument over a 100-year period. Basically restoring about 10% of those lands through active, very lighter touch active management approach, 10% per decade for 100 years. They also had included an alternative, alternative B. So that was alternative C. And alternative B, which was a much more intensive management approach, a lot like Forest Bridges. And in fact, the agency said that while Forest Bridges' proposed alternative last year did not meet their purpose and need for their framework development, according to the proclamation that is sort of governing and all the other laws that are governing the monument, they did include our more intensive active management approach. And so, and ours was on a 5-year, very aggressive timeline to address the increased threats of high severity wildfire, drought, disease, and other threats to the monument. We felt it was really urgent and a moral imperative to get on it as fast as possible, but their intensive approach was over a 50-year timeline, a little bit closer to us, but still. And then in terms of some of the thinning and prescribed fire levels of work and intervals, still not quite where we thought it should be. So we decided to respond.
Now, it's interesting you think about, take a look at all these lands if you were, you know, on an aerial flight above. This takes a lot of, research and a lot of, kind of scholarly science to even have an idea.
Yeah, we come from the perspective of having the best science as well as traditional ecological knowledge approach, recognizing that these lands were stewarded by indigenous peoples prior to their removal. As the colonial era came about. And then with fire suppression, we've had this densification of those lands to an unnaturally unhealthy level. And given our changing climate and meeting up with those densified lands, we can see that wildfires that used to be more low and moderate level, so as indigenous populations use them to help maintain and steward the lands. Over the last 100 years, those high severity fires have now reached 36%, when their range before was about 5 to 9%. So we're saying basically those lands are a powder keg and really need to be addressed. And there's some interesting things with what the BLM, why the BLM, we think, has chosen a more moderate level, and maybe we can get into that.
Yeah, let's go into that. What do you think there?
Well, we read the 600 two core volume draft resource management plan and environmental impact study, and
light reading.
Yeah, and you know, the BLM consistently in those documents, as well as in their past assessment, would lead one to believe that they were going to propose a much more intensive approach as we have. And what we found was that we honed in on this area about visual resource management and soil impacts. And now, as we're looking at that, what does that mean? So we look at the beauty of a monument, and we say we wish it could stay forever like that, right? But in fact, the real irony here is that what we're seeing in this monument is an unhealthy situation and an unsustainable situation, especially in terms of fire resilience and maintaining that beautiful biological wonder. And so, we had to say, they decided that to take it slow and to not change too much to be able to keep it to look a certain way over those 100 years whilst the restoration and other work is being done. But we say, we need to weigh the short-term impacts with the long-term gains here. You're deferring, like so many things we hear, in our lives, deferring the problem, which, instead of being able to see a beautiful monument in 100 years, you might see a half-burned or even full-burned monument that actually really defeats the purpose of sort of emphasizing or putting that hierarchy on the visual resource management. The other was soil impacts, and we can see that if you're using low to moderate severity burning in actual treatment form together with thinning, you're actually putting more carbon back into the soil. And we know that obviously with all these high severity fires, we're releasing all this carbon, and any gains we've had here also in California have really been lost because of these high severity wildfires.
Do you feel like if you are less active in the management, if the agency is, that that's going to increase the risk of larger fires?
Yeah, so what we really mean is that you've got to, we're urging them to take to look at it from a pace, scope, and level of work that's needed to be able to restore these forests. And they're mixed species forests. There's a lot of Doug fir and oak and other types of forests down there. So according to the forest that you're looking at, treat them according to the level of space that's needed, the structural and species diversity that would be appropriate, and basically open the forests up. Alternative C, the BLM's current preferred alternative, which we would hope that they will not make as their final proposed alternative, and instead take on the B, alternative B, the more intensive, but more at a faster pace, that basically you're leaving the forest canopy, almost, I think, 84% more of the forest canopy closed, and you're leaving a lot of fuel on the ground. And the thinning just isn't at the level that's needed to be able to, again, using the idea of low and moderate intensity fires going through those lands to actually be beneficial to those lands. That's really the goal that we're trying to reach.
How long did it take your group to craft a response to this? I mean, you said 600 pages. This has got to be quite a long process.
Yeah, we were lucky because last year when we did we've had a basis of policy papers that we've been building over the years, and one of them is geared towards those dry forests in Southwest Oregon. And last summer when our board agreed that we would respond to that call for feedback or input into the development of the current draft plan that's now, out there, we basically had a lot to build on. But, science is always changing. In the last year, I've been with Forest Bridges for 2 years. It's amazing. We're students every day. And so you're constantly having to look at the most recent studies that are coming out and really guiding, a management. So basically, for us, it took us We started, you know, it was a 90-day process, and we probably spent collectively as an organization 120 hours. You know, but it was important to us because we really believe strongly right now anyway on being able to participate in these processes that get our ideas onto the table of the BLM, and also to help the public that I think is you know, we hear a lot about the public not being ready for more active management, but honestly, there's surveys both in Oregon and nationally that say, you know, if people understand what is needed to maintain these forests in perpetuity, that they would agree to active management.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Denise Barrett with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Denise Barrett from Forest Bridges, their executive director, in the studio this afternoon, talking about their work with the forest management ideas regarding the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. A big, long process, and one of the things that you talk about multiple times here in your release is the perspectives of indigenous, of tribal people. And it seems like that is getting noticed more in this conversation about how to manage forests.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive. I think it's, you know, Forest Bridges does very much promote co-stewardship, even co-management, which are a little bit different. But we integrate into all of our approaches traditional ecological knowledge, basically indigenous science. And we were really impressed recently with a report that just came out that beautifully blends the ideas of Western and indigenous knowledge and science. And, you know, reference to the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument, which has protected reserves. Well, we knowing that the reserves are really not working. And I think this idea in the West that you have to take land that may be at risk and set it aside and not manage it at all, it contradicts the way that indigenous populations have always stewarded the lands and tried to maintain the health, vibrancy, and fire resilience of them. And so we took that a little bit head on in our response to the BLM this time. And even we researched the Wilderness Act of, was it 1960? I can't remember what year that is, but decades old Wilderness Act. And we caught a phrase in there which really said, you know, it's saying, leave these pristine lands that are untouched. Well, we said, no, they haven't been untouched. They were stewarded. They were definitely stewarded as habitat, you know, to be able to support the appropriate species of animals, plants, and whatnot there. But, you know, they are not to be stand alone in the sense that, especially with the risk of fire and drought, you know, we've got to attend to those wilderness areas as well.
Well, and it seems like if you just, you know, think about, take it outside of the forest, think about other areas of life. If you just leave something the way it is and don't do anything, it's still going to change.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, try that with your backyard.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, this is, you know, change is what's happening all the time around us. I was thinking this morning, you know, look at the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. Again, a beautiful place, and many people have loved this and want the best for it. But, you know, when you're looking at it, you're not looking at a postcard. You know, it's not about, you know, landscape design. It's about forest management and to actively manage the forest appropriately. Sure, you know, it's going to change no matter what. So we'd rather be able to be a part of the sort of, if I call it the sort of the disturbance approach, which is we'd like to, you know, lower intensity fires, low and moderate intensity fires, to be the one that is dominant there rather than the high severity, because then our postcard, you know, we won't be taking postcards of that monument anymore.
Well, and that's a good perspective to think about as you explore the topic. Is this is a vast, wide area, and it's not captured in one frame of a photograph.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we just have to rethink. I think when the Antiquities Act was, which is the that dominant act right now, when that came out, I mean, when you think about antiquities, you don't really necessarily think of forests, right? And so we really have to see that there's you know, ecosystems there, and they are always changing. And so, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, change or be changed. So help, you know, honor indigenous populations that had stewarded them and partner with them to help these lands actually get on the right track now.
So where do things go from here? You guys have submitted your thoughts, and I know the comment period lasts for a while, right?
Yeah, the comment period just ended, and so now the BLM, and they did a monumental job. I mean, 600 pages, they just didn't crank that out with all, you know, AI, right? That was a lot of work, and it was really an incredible piece of work. So they take all the comments. I don't know, I don't have a tally on all the comments that have come in right now. I know ours are extensive, which often helps, you know, get in front of them. But they will, this fall, finish, we understand, a proposed alternative now, the actual proposed final plan. And then from there, early next year, there'll be more public comments, and hopefully it'll be finalized and out there. And we hope that it'll be an accelerated alternative B intensive active management approach.
Well, and of course, anytime you're looking at these issues in the midst of an election year, suddenly things can change depending on who occupies the White House and their direction next year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talk about that a lot at Forest Bridges, and you know, we call ourselves the moderate middle, and the reason why we say that is because we want to be able to cut through the pendulum of political, you know, winds that are blowing, and we want to be the one to help support. You know, it's a public service. We're not doing it for the money or the accolades, right? We're really doing it because we believe in it, and we just really want to see you know, good results on these lands.
Now, talk about being kind of in the moderate or in the middle, and you've got folks that have been involved with the group that are part of your group that really come from both sides.
Yeah, maybe I haven't even said it one word yet. We are a collaborative, and we have been a collaborative since our founding in 2015, and we work with all sides to what had been a longstanding, you know, so-called timber war, and there's still a lot of polarity there, but we've managed to be able to pull people through the middle of those who are really ready to listen. You know, conservationists, which understand the need for active management, and timber folks who also, you know, understand, you know, taking a more ecological approach on these public lands will help us to sustain them in the long run.
And do you feel like people in general are more open to hearing or seeing both sides work together?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think there's always going to be people on the extremes. You know, there are people who make careers out of being on the extremes, if I may say so. I don't mean to insult them, but, you know, we see it. We know it. But, you know, in the long run, what we really hope is that to build a public base of support that the public can get behind, and really the people start listening to the public for these lands to be more actively managed.
Now, you are been working on this. What are some of the other things you guys are working on?
Yeah, you know, I think we were a little bit under the radar on this earlier this year, but we also submitted an active conservation management proposal to the Northwest. I think I came and talked to you about that. Yeah, the active conservation management proposal for the Northwest Forest Plan. We're still waiting on that. And recently, the old growth amendment, the draft old growth amendment, just came out, and we'll take a look at that. We're not 100% sure that we're going to be responding to that, but we'll let you know.
And talk about, we've got about a minute left, kind of the scope of, I mean, you're basically focused on this part of Southern Oregon, maybe into Northern California, right?
Well, we're actually focused on the entire western part of the state that has ONC land. So that's 18 counties in Western Oregon. It just so happens that a lot of it has been, you know, dry forest with the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. But this the Northwest Forest Plan had us, you know, 500,000 acres of what they call controverted Forest Service lands that are ONC lands in, I believe it's six national forests in Western Oregon. So we're up and down the west here, the west side of the state.
So if people want to find out more about what you've put out, what you've submitted to the BLM, and kind of some of the perspectives your organization holds, where can they find that?
Yeah, you can go to forestbridges.org. You can also go to our social media accounts. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, We're even on Twitter now, I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but, you know, yeah, we're out there. But go to our website, you can get a lot of instructions. And consider becoming a friend of Forest Bridges. If you like what you're hearing, it doesn't cost anything, but it would be nice to have you, and you'd be in an anonymous place in terms of supporting us.
All right, thanks, Denise. 1257.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.